All right, you can turn with me to John's Gospel and chapter 4. And we're going to start our reading today in verse 27 to 30. So John 4, 27 to 30. And we will see the amazing grace of Jesus displayed. And brethren, I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. You know, this is our fifth reading, fifth sermon from John chapter 4. We've been moving pretty slow, but I really hope that we've, grown and been encouraged by the things we've seen in our Lord's interaction with this unnamed Samaritan woman. So this is John's Gospel. And chapter 4, and beginning in verse 27. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. Father, as we conclude the conversation our Lord had with this Samaritan woman, we pray that we be amazed by sovereign grace, grace that pursues us, grace that never lets us go, grace that brought us to salvation. And Lord, remind us that this is not a history lesson, that the same sovereign grace of Jesus came to us and brought us to salvation. And if it has not, we pray that you would awaken hearts. Lord, help us every single day of our life. We, as followers of Jesus, need the good news. We need grace. Lord, help us who've tasted and seen the Lord is good. Help us who've tasted living water to rejoice in your amazing grace shown to us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, brethren, when we began our study of John's Gospel, right, we saw in the prologue in chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. And you know, we noted back then, right, that you don't see the word grace mentioned throughout the rest of the book. That's it. It's in John's prologue. You don't see that word again throughout the rest of the book. And yet, the unfolding of John's Gospels and all the Gospels is the display of the grace and mercy of Jesus. Jesus who's full of grace and truth. Jesus who came to this little remote village in Samaria. Remember, Samaria is a much despised people group for most of the Jewish peoples. And yet our Lord said, "I must go through Samaria." We see our Lord purposefully go and seek out this Samaritan woman. It is purposeful. He chose her. He chose the place. He chose the time. And he sought her while she was a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Now, this interaction by this well, Jacob's well, Samaria, you might say that this is the first example of cross-cultural evangelism in the New Testament. Here we have our Lord interacting with, you know, a Gentile, right? She is half Jewish from descent, but she's also half Assyrian. And not only is she a Gentile, of course, she's really in an entirely different religion. You might say, as we've known before, you might call it a cult group, right? It's based loosely on Judaism, but it's its own thing, like Mormonism is based on Christianity, or Jehovah's Witnesses would not exist without the true Christian faith. And yet they are, to say the least, distortions, perversions of the truth. And so it was with the Samaritan religion. It would not exist without the true Judaism, but it is, to say the least, a great distortion of the Jewish faith. It is an entirely different system, an entirely different religion. And here our Lord is seeking out a Gentile, again, much despised by most Jewish people, who is in a cult group, a different religion. He's crossing cultures, different customs, different ways of seeing life and doing life. And it is an illustration in many ways of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, Nicodemus. God has plans to go way beyond this plot of dirt here in Israel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. His interaction with this unnamed Samaritan woman is an illustration of John 3:16. He is showing his loving kindness to this Samaritan woman. And it was a reminder for those disciples, right, that salvation is not for the Jews only. And this has always been God's plan. Isaiah 45:22, we see God's gracious invitation. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. So what happened here by Jacob's well is really a preview, you might say, of the book of Acts, where we have the gospel starting in Jerusalem, going into Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the story of Acts, and then throughout church history. So it is a preview of global evangelism. And here our Lord openly reveals himself as Messiah to a Gentile woman. I who speak to you am he. I am the Christ. He revealed himself to her. So we see our Lord graciously pursuing sinners. First of all, again, we first noted that she was a Gentile, a Samaritan. But secondly, we see his pursuing grace in that she was a Samaritan woman. Now, this might be sort of lost to us, but it was actually quite a shock to the disciples, right? We see that very clearly. They want to know, why are you speaking with her? They're curious. This was not breaking God's law, but it certainly was breaking cultural norms. So the rabbis would say, quote, let no one talk with a woman in the streets. No, not even with his own wife. The rabbis would also say, quote, each time a man prolongs conversation with a woman, he causes evil to himself, desists from the law, and in the end inherits Gehenna, which is hell. So this is rabbinical teaching, the wisdom of the Israel's leaders. This is not God's law. But here again, you see the gracious actions of our Lord speaking with this Gentile woman by the well. And not only was she a Samaritan woman, but we are already noted in previous weeks that she was an immoral woman. Bring me your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. You're right, because you've had five, and the one you're now living with is not your husband. She was a Samaritan woman who lived a very immoral life, and yet here is our Lord pursuing her, speaking with her. A woman, by the way, who's at the well at the heat of the day. She's there at noontime. Even her own people rejected her, despised her, and yet here is our Lord who has revealed himself to be a friend of sinners. Brethren, when you think of the Lord Jesus, do you think of him as a friend of sinners? I think we have to be all very, very on guard. Me too. Very, very on guard, because this attitude that we can have can be actually against the way that our Lord actually interacted with people. He was full of grace and truth. And so, in other words, our Lord always told people the truth, even if that truth was painful. And yet he did so in a way that was full of grace and truth. He came into the world to save sinners. You can think of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. I must go to your house today. Or there's blind Bartimaeus without any hope in this world. Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? Or speaking the truth to Nicodemus, truth in love. Nicodemus, you, sir, you must be born again. And here we have at the well here, we have our Lord offering living water, eternal life, forgiveness of sin, salvation to this Gentile immoral woman. The one you speak to is the Christ. Offers her living water. Our Lord is, brethren, a friend of sinners. Now think deeply how the Lord has been a friend to you. You know, it's easy to kind of distinguish ourselves from notorious sinners in the Bible and say, well, you know, I mean, that's really, really bad, the way that they're living and the way that they're doing. And brethren, just be reminded that though our sins are different, our sins are many. And yet, the body of Christ has the full assurance of God's grace and love for us. He sought us while we were strangers wandering from the fold of God. He showed us amazing grace, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Brother, think often and think deeply about God's love and mercy towards you. No, read through Romans 8 until you come to where Paul came to when he is just amazed at the width and depth and height of God's love for us. Our sins might be different, but brethren, we too are sinners. You know, Paul never got over that, did he? Paul never got over the wonder of Christ's grace toward him, the chief of sinners. Never, brethren, outgrow the wonder of God's amazing grace. He pursued us. So we see here, Jesus had a lesson also for his disciples. That the gospel is for all peoples, all people groups, not just for the Jews only. Now they should have learned this, of course, from the prophet Jonah. God would extend mercies, even his mercies, even to the enemies of Israel, like, of course, the Assyrians in Jonah's day. The Assyrians, by the way, were a brutal people. And here he's extending his mercy and grace to a descendant of those brutal, brutal people, this Samaritan woman by the well. And we see that our Lord pursued her by his grace, and it seems that she took that living water. It seems that she really did taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, our Lord spoke to her, directly spoke to her soul, drew her to himself. You know, he didn't come to that well to chat about, you know, temporary water. He came to that well to talk about forgiveness and everlasting life. And it seemed that she received that great gift. So, she came to that well, a daughter of Adam, you might say. And there at that well, she met the second Adam, the greater Adam. She came there from mundane duty, the heat of the day, to fetch water for her family. But here, it seems that she found living water. Now, we don't see this authoritatively stated that she was born again, but we do see marks of grace in her life. We see signs and evidence that there is new life in her soul. You know, first of all, we see that she has a public confession of Christ. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Now, here you have a lady again with a terrible reputation, and, you know, it seems that she knew a lot of men. And this is the first peoples that she goes and speaks to. You know, a lot of us can, on some level, understand this, right? So I remember when the Lord Jesus saved me, I had a burden for my friends. These are the people that I'm close to. You know, I had kind of that experience of my eyes were opened, my heart is opened, and I had compassion for my buddies. I wanted them to come to know the Lord Jesus. And in many ways, you know, that's where she's at. And she goes with a spirit of humility, right? So she's not, you know, trying to be braggadocious about this thing and the voice of authority kind of brings something upon them. She goes with an attitude of humility. But certainly this is a sign that the Spirit of God has done a work in her heart. All of those who've been born again will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what she does. She confesses him, again, I think in a very humble way before men. And we know our Lord taught this, right? Our Lord taught that whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father in heaven. That's Matthew 10, 32 and 33. So, you know, you have this lady. She's just going about her life, going about her tasks. She wasn't looking for the Messiah that day. She's just looking for a pail of water. You know, she wasn't there to get saved. She wasn't there for assurance of heaven and everlasting life. She didn't have any signs or show any interest in spiritual things. And yet, our Lord, by his grace, pursues her. And our Lord changes her. He reveals himself to her heart. Reveals himself to be the Messiah. And it really does seem that she believed. So, we see that she has, again, in a very humble way, a confession that he is the Christ. Come and see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they go out, of course, and see him. She has a real, second of all, real concern for Christ. She has a real concern. A concern for the lost. Now, you know, these were her people. And a lot of her people rejected her, especially it seems the ladies. She's there at noon. She doesn't speak initially to the ladies because of her, you know, reputation. But there she is. She's reaching out. She seems to be genuinely caring for those who are like her, without God and without hope in this world. Now, you know, what might her motivations be? Well, certainly, brethren, you know, she's motivated by gratitude. She's thankful that the Lord Jesus revealed himself to her, offered her living water, everlasting life. She's no doubt full of gratitude. No doubt she's full of shock. Shock that she, a Samaritan woman, should speak to the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. No doubt that she's in shock. But I think underlining motivation is always love. Love for the Lord Jesus springing up in her newly born again soul, springing from that fountain of everlasting life. She's been awakened to God's gospel. And now she overflows with love for her neighbor. And so I think we have every reason to believe that she was marked by God's grace. Grace pursued her, grace changed her. She was marked by God's grace. She drank that living water, and she was changed from the inside out. Now, brethren, sometimes we struggle. I think if we're honest, sometimes we struggle. We all do with times and seasons where maybe our heart feels cold, right? And, you know, we sometimes might struggle with, apathy with, you know, pursuing any open door we might have to share the good news of Jesus. I think all of us go through seasons like that. And let me tell you, when you go through seasons like that, the antidote to that is to fix your eyes on the gospel. You know, it's not, you know, a rah-rah session. It's not necessarily more training, although, you know, training can be helpful. It really is for God's people the overflowing love that we have for Jesus and the realization that Christ died for sinners, and that God has an elect people, and that upon hearing the good news of Jesus, they will be saved. So sometimes if you struggle with coldness of heart, Go back to the fundamentals, the foundations, and remind yourself of all that the triune God has done for you, his eternal love for you. Remind yourself that before the foundation of the earth, the Father chose you in him. That in due time, the Lord Jesus Christ went to a cross, and remind yourself of all that he accomplished for your soul. Remind yourself that he sought you while you're a stranger. You, now thinking back when the Lord Jesus saved me, you know, I wasn't necessarily looking for salvation. I wasn't necessarily looking for, you know, spiritual truth. I was just kind of living my life. And one night I was just kind of bored and I began to read the Bible. And then the Lord Jesus began to reveal to me the depth of my sin, you know, my need for salvation. He sought me. He came to my will, so to speak. He offered me living water. And then I was on fire for my friends to come to know the Lord Jesus. We want to be that way. We want to have hearts that are quick to run to him and desire to share him. And Lord, and we can be thankful that we have the reality of the Spirit's presence and power in our life, so that when we have those open doors, it's not just us moving our mouth, but we have the Spirit of God applying those truths as we share them. So brethren, as believers, let us rejoice in God's grace on display. Display to this unnamed Samaritan woman in Sychar, and God's grace on display in your life, that he would bring you to salvation. Let us rejoice in that. And I want to encourage you this week to be often thinking every single day we need God's gospel. So I want to encourage all of us to daily be contemplating and thinking of all the Lord accomplished for your, for our souls, and to look for open doors to share God's grace with others. Father, we pray for that. We ask that you would give us open doors to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. And Lord, we are very, very thankful that we have examples like this. We understand that John's gospel is only a selection of many, many stories that John could have shared. And we're thankful that we have this one inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that it would cause us to reflect deeply on your amazing grace to us. Lord, we pray that should there be anyone in this room who's not yet been saved, that they would run to you. And we pray for open doors to share the hope that we have with others. And we ask this in Christ's great name. Amen.